You are listening to episode number 58 of the Secondary Science Simplified podcast. When I started this podcast just over a year ago, I began by sharing my story in episode one, but then I did a deep dive mid-year reset in episodes two and three. And we are going to do something similar in today's episode because I think this is a really good time of year to kind of do a factory reset, if you will, on how you're doing your job in order to make sure that you are in a place where you can make it through the rest of the school year. And this year in today's episode, we're going to do all of this reflecting and this resetting through the lens of what we've been talking about the last few weeks on the podcast. We're going to adjust our expectations for ourselves in our work as teachers to meet and align with the current season of life that you are in. So like I said, we've spent the last 3 weeks looking into your life outside of school. So if you've missed episodes 55, 56, and 57, you need to make sure you give those a listen. But now we're going to zoom in and apply everything we've talked about thus far to where you are in the school year as a teacher and how to set you up to thrive and not just survive this second half of the year. So we're going to make our work life align with our life outside of work, which should be the majority of our life. Are you ready to hit the reset button on this school year? Let's do it. This is Secondary Science Simplified, a podcast for secondary science teachers who want to engage their students and simplify their lives. I'm Rebecca Joyner from It's Not Rocket Science. As a high school science teacher turned curriculum writer, I'm passionate about helping other science teachers love their jobs, serve their students, and do it all in only 40 hours a week. Are you ready to rock the time you spend in your classroom and actually have a life outside of it? You're in the right place, teacher friend. Let's get to today's episode. Like I said at the start of this episode, you cannot do this reset unless you've started by reflecting on your current season of life. So where are you in life right now? What matters most right now? What are the current limitations of your season? How is that impacting your capacity to do your job? What are some things that you need to prioritize based on what's mattering most right now and the limitations and capacity that you have? If you had to pick one, what would be your number one goal for this year? Just picking one. And then we're going to filter everything we talk about next through these lenses. Again, if you want a deeper dive into all those questions, we've been talking about those the last 3 weeks of the episode. But now let's talk through aligning our expectations for work to our current season of life. And we're going to look at four areas of your work life to do that. Okay, first, let's talk through your procedures. Your procedures are just how you run your class. There are any rules, routines, or rhythms that you've put into place. And you may have done this intentionally by teaching things, but also I find that this time of year, there's often a lot of procedures that we've kind of unintentionally allowed to happen. Things we've kind of been like, I don't really mind that. But then it's kind of been reinforced over time. But it gets to a point where you kind of have started to mind it now. And so I think this is a really important time to reflect on our procedures and kind of reset those in case there are any that just don't align with where you are right now. Because here's the deal. Procedures are essential to my classroom management strategies because I firmly believe that individual behavioral issues with students are best fixed on a relational level. And I believe that whole class behavioral issues can be prevented with well-established, communicated, and reinforced procedures. Procedures allow you to be proactive with students rather than reactive when it comes to classroom issues. And I don't know about you, but when I get into a situation with an individual student where I feel reactive and I feel emotional towards them, that can create a barrier and a wound almost in our personal one-on-one relationship, which then if we have some fissures in our relationship on a one-to-one level, that impacts their behavior and it kind of then can impact the whole class behavior and it creates this vicious cycle. So I feel like procedures are really, really helpful for allowing me to be more proactive and less reactive. And so I want you to consider where you are right now, not where you've been, where you want to be, but where you are right now as you're listening to this podcast at this very moment. Think about, when do you get the most frustrated during your class period? Is there a certain time where you just feel like, oh, you can just get so, feel yourself just getting angry or exasperated or just exhausted? Is it the first 5 minutes? Is it when you're transitioning between instructional resources? Is it when you're cleaning up from lab? When do you feel that most frustrated by your students? And again, consider this right now, because there may be things that frustrate you now that didn't really frustrate you at the beginning of the year, but that's what back when you had beginning of the year energy, okay? And your energy right now is not the same. So we need to match it with where you are now. Maybe things are frustrating you right now because you have a 12-week-old at home and you're up all night. And so you don't have the patience for, you know, signing kids out to go to the bathroom like you used to. And so consider where you are right now on your current level of sleep and in your current capacity. What is most frustrating to you during your class period in your interactions with your students? And then, are there certain situations that you find that anytime you get into them, you're led to feel maybe more impatient or maybe even angry at your students? Like, there are some things that kind of trigger you to feel anger towards your students. Write those down too. And then the last thing I would want you to reflect on, are there any questions that your students ask that literally make you just like rub your furrowed brow because you're like, I cannot even answer this question again? Because if that's the case, I want you to consider that too and write that down. And so make a list of all the things you just thought of when I asked you those three questions. And then next to each of those things, because I hope you did them in a bulleted list, we're not writing a 3.5 paragraph essay here. Just jot them down in a list. And then next to them, I want you to write a new classroom procedure that you can teach your students to remedy each of these issues. Okay, so if you're getting up, you know, 4 times at night with your newborn, and so it's causing you to not have enough brain cells to answer students' questions the first 5 minutes of class when that's kind of chaotic, you may need to make a new procedure that says, no one can ask me any questions until we've done our bell ringer. Okay, so I hope that you all do a bell ringer. I will link an episode in the show notes where I talk about the importance of the first 5 minutes of class, but I want your kids and your students walking in, getting straight to work quietly, working on their bell ringer. It gives you a chance to take attendance, you know, check any homework, whatever. But you may need to make an additional rule and rhythm and procedure that says, you may not speak to me during this time. When the bell ringer's over, that is when you can speak to me. Because maybe you just need a little quiet for that first 5 minutes to get your head on straight because you're running on 13 brain cells. If that's you, I feel that because I'm currently running on 13 brain cells. Okay, so that may be a new procedure you need to write and teach. Okay, so write down all your frustration points, write down a procedure for each. Now start reteaching those to your students. Is it easier to teach these procedures at the beginning of the year? Yes, but it is totally doable and it's worth your energy now to take the time to teach these if they're going to realign your expectations for your students with where you are in the school year and your expectations for yourself with the season of life that you are in right now. Okay, so I want you to do that. Clearly define them for yourself and then clearly communicate them to your students. And then from now on, consistently reinforce them. And within a week or two, they will become second nature to your students and you won't have to keep teaching on them. Okay, so that's how I want you to reflect and reset your procedures for the rest of the school year. The next thing I want you to reflect on is your teaching space, your physical space. I don't know about you, but the physical space that surrounds me really impacts how I'm able to think and how I'm able to communicate with other people. I don't know if this is because I'm an introvert, and so having energy for other people in general can be draining for me. I don't know if this is because I'm an Enneagram 1 and super type A, so having things be orderly and believing there's a right way to do things really matters to me. Maybe this is just a me problem, but in case it's an everyone problem, I find that my ability to function and think clearly and have patience and grace for other people is directly correlated to the physical space I'm in. And if I feel overwhelmed and overstimulated and just by the like space that surrounds me, I feel like I have to reset my house like 10 times a day because it's like I can't walk into my kitchen and there just be stuff all over the counter and be expected to also prep lunch during that time. Like it just, it hurts my brain. So I want you to reflect on your teaching space. So whether you have a full classroom or, you know, you have a cart that you float on, whatever space that you would say is yours, I want you to consider doing a little bit of early spring cleaning and walking through each of these spaces and just thinking like, how can I make this space function better with the current season of life that I'm in and how I'm going to be running my classroom? You know, maybe you're going to stop grading stuff as much for the rest of the school year, which we'll talk about later in this episode. And so maybe you need to reorient how your desk is set up so that, because you don't need as much space now to be grading stuff because you're not going to grade as much. So I want you to really, really evaluate the space that you're in, your physical space, and how it can best serve you in this season. And to help you do that really practically, I have a free classroom reset challenge. You can grab it at itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/challenge. But basically, it's 5 different tasks, and it's a checklist for you to walk through to reset 5 different areas of your classroom. And if this feels overwhelming to you, you can just do like 1 a month until the end of the school year so that going into summer, your whole classroom space feels ready and settled so that when you come back in August, it'll be fresh for the new year. And if you decide to do that and kind of spread this out, I recommend starting with the space that is your desk, the whole checklist for your desk area. I would start there and then kind of work through the other areas. So I want to encourage you to reflect on your teaching space and how it's serving you. And if it's not serving you, let's reset it so that it's in a place to better serve you in the current season of life that you're in. Okay. The third thing I want you to reflect and reset is, how are you spending your time? And I challenge you to do this last January, and I want to challenge you to do this every January. This is such a helpful practice for me, and that's to do a time audit. Okay, so here's what this looks like practically. You take 1 week of your life. You could do Sunday to Saturday. I like to do Monday through Sunday because I like to think of my weekends like as kind of like the end point of my week, and Monday is kind of the beginning of the week to me. It doesn't matter, but look at a 7-day span of time, and I want you to be crazy detailed and how you chronicle how you spend those days and your time on those days. Okay, so I found the easiest way to do this is to either have like a notebook page that I'm carrying around with me, or have like a note on my phone in the notes app, and just at each meal kind of reflect on the last part of the day that I've just walked through and how I spent the time. So hopefully you're eating 3 meals a day. So when you would sit down and eat breakfast or lunch or dinner, at those times, kind of think through what has happened since you last sat down and looked at the list and chronicle what went down kind of hour by hour. And then I really want you to focus on how you do this outside of school, but also especially that period of time that you're physically in your school building. I really want you to zoom in on your time at school and how you're spending it. How much time is spent actually teaching? How much time are you spending answering emails? How much time are you spending socializing? How much time are you spending making copies, grading, etc.? And then also look at how much work stuff you're bringing home with you. And then I want you to actually take the sum and see how much time you're spending every week on work. Okay, and then look at that number and say, is this how much time I really want to be working? My goal for each of you is that you're only working 40, 45 hours a week, but I bet most of you are working more like 60 to 70. Even if we can cut off 10 hours for this semester, wouldn't that be such a win to work 10 less hours this semester than you normally do? So let's get an audit. Let's get a good idea of where you're spending your time first. And then look at that and say, is this where I even want to be spending my time? Like maybe you are spending 5 hours a week prepping and cleaning up labs, and you're like, this is just not the season for this. I don't have the capacity to keep staying late and doing this. And so maybe you need to adjust the kind of labs you're doing the rest of this year. Maybe you need to make them a lot simpler, maybe a lot more cookie cutter. Maybe you just need to keep the labs you have and love and keep doing those inquiry investigations, but cut them back. Maybe instead of having 5 more this year, you're going to do 3 more, just to give yourself a little bit more capacity and margin in your day. Maybe you look at your schedule and you see that you cumulatively spent about 1 hour in your email inbox, but it was just 10 minutes here and 20 minutes there. But you realize you just spent 1 hour of your workday in your inbox. Let me tell you something, teacher friend. You don't have 1 hour to spend in your inbox. You have way more responsibilities that are way more pressing as a secondary science teacher in terms of lesson planning, engaging with students, grading, prepping labs, cleaning up labs, doing demos, checking on the chemical supply closet, etc., then is worthwhile your time being in your inbox. And so I want you to consider that too. Again, look at all of this, look at the time you're spending and calculate how much is being spent on each part of your job and then how much is being spent on your job as a whole versus in your responsibilities outside of work as a whole. And look at that and say, does this work within my current limitations and also my current priorities? Where am I spending my time? Does all of this align? Is this pace that I'm running at sustainable for the rest of the year? And if you said no to any or all of these things, I want you to stop doing some things. And this will be different for you versus the teacher, other teachers listening to this podcast. But really consider, where are you spending too much time and how can you cut back on those things? Do you need to stop spending so much time perfecting your lesson plans for the rest of this year and kind of just use what you did last year or use what someone else on the internet is using just to free up some lesson planning time? Do you need to limit yourself to only checking email 2 times a day? Do you need to delete work email off of your phone so that you don't check it after work hours? Or do you need to put up an autoresponder so that parents and people emailing you, admin, know, hey, every day from 5 p.m. on, I will not be in my inbox. So if you email me, I will not see it. Or do you need to put that up for the weekend so you feel free to disconnect from your email? Do you need to lock your door during your planning period from now on so you don't end up socializing? Do you need to say no to running this club or coaching that sport because there's truly no way you can do it while you're balancing 5 preps and prepping for the AP exam in May for one of the classes you teach? Okay. These are the things I want you to consider and consider what you can stop doing so that your time audit looks a lot more aligned to what's best for you in this season of your life. Okay. So that's the next thing I want to challenge you to do. And then last, I want you to really reflect on how you grade. The first time I ever did a time audit, I'm not going to lie, I was honestly disturbed at how much time I was spending grading things. And it just didn't align with what I cared most about as a teacher and the amount of hours I wanted to work and do this job so that I had a life outside of the classroom. And so I had to make some changes. And so I want you to consider that as well. If you look at your time audit and you see that grading stuff is taking up a huge part of it, or that like all the time you're spending outside of class working is spent grading, let's change it up for the rest of the school year. You know, I love making big changes at the start of the year, but I know that can feel really scary to people to be like, okay, I'm going to do this totally different for the next 10 months. So if that's you, this is such a great time for you to try something new just for the rest of the school year. Just give it a couple months to grade way less than you normally do and see what happens. See how it serves you and see how it serves your students. Maybe you need to start spot checking more for completion. Maybe you need to do more standards-based grading and grading with rubrics. Maybe you need to just not collect and grade nearly as much for accuracy. Just pick one thing per class per week. Maybe when you grade labs, instead of having your students do formal lab reports, you just grade one section of the lab and let them peer grade the rest. Okay, I have a bunch of blog posts about what you can do to decrease your time spent grading, and I will make sure to link those in the show notes. But I really want you to consider this because here's the deal. Where you are in the school year right now, you most likely have 5 or 6 months of data you've collected on these students in terms of their grades. Like, you know who's an A student, who's a B student, who's a C student, who's a D, and who's borderline, who we're just trying to carry through to get to passing. Okay. You kind of know where they are at. And I'm not saying students can't change, but you at least have a baseline of data from the last 5 to 6 months you've been teaching them. So now make some changes. Start grading half of what you're normally grading and see how their grades reflect that in the classroom. If everyone starts doing way worse than they were doing last semester, maybe you're not grading enough and you need to put in a couple more grades to kind of buffer. If people start doing way better, you know, maybe that's something to consider too, although I'm kind of great with that too. I mean, I would never complain about my students doing better in my class. If they're doing about how they always have, then look, you don't need to grade as much as you always have graded. And here's the deal. If you get to the end of the year and you start looking at their final grades and you're like, this does not reflect, you know, what I feel like they really learned. I don't know about you, but there's a manual override in every grade book I've ever used in every school I've taught in. Like, you can bump their grade up and curve everyone's grades if you feel like, I feel like their grades are lower than they should have been because I chose to grade less. Like, go ahead and hit that manual override button, okay? Or, you know, curve their final exam so it naturally helps their grade or whatever it may be. But this is such a great time to experiment in your classroom and see if it serves you better in the current season of life that you're in. And you may be surprised at how it serves your students better too. Okay, so this is your take-home challenge for today's episode. I want you to reflect and reset your procedures, space, time, and your grading strategies. For your procedures, debrief on those stress points and then write a new procedure for each that you're going to teach your students. For your space, go ahead and grab that classroom reset challenge that I'll link in the show notes and go through your space, even doing one checklist in one area per month till the end of the school year so it doesn't feel overwhelming for you. Then I want you to reset your time. Do a time audit of the next week of your life and look at where you're spending the most of your time in school, but also outside of school. And consider maybe what you need to change for your current season. Maybe if there's a lot of crazy stuff happening out of work hours, like you're doing great at school, but in your life, you're like, what am I doing with my life? Maybe you need to start outsourcing some things. We actually just decided we are going to do grocery delivery from Walmart until our youngest is one because I just cannot do the grocery store with three children under four and with the way our schedule is, like it's too much. So we're doing Walmart grocery delivery. We changed up our budget to compensate for that. And then when he's a little bit bigger and he can start going to preschool with the big kids, this will be something that I can put back into my schedule when they're all out of my house, you know, for an hour a day. So just consider that in school, but also look at your time audit in terms of what you're doing outside of school as well. And then last, reflect and reset on how you're doing your grading. Is there something you could change up for the rest of the school year to simplify how you're grading and how much is being put on your plate from a grading standpoint? And maybe try it out. Try it out just for the rest of this quarter if you're really intimidated and see how it goes. And maybe you'll see that you don't need to grade nearly as much as you're currently grading. And if you try all this and you're still like, Rebecca, I'm so burned out. I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish this school year. I just want you to stay tuned. Come back next week because I have a special guest interview that's airing with a teacher who specializes in helping other teachers who are experiencing burnout. So come back next week and make sure you listen to that. And just a reminder, any links that I mentioned, you'll be able to find in the show notes at itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/episode58. All right, teacher friends, that wraps up today's episode. If you're looking for an easy way to start simplifying your life as a secondary science teacher, head to itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/challenge to grab your classroom reset challenge. And guess what? It's totally free. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you here next week. Until then, I'll be rooting for you, teacher friend.